Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. I want to begin with a question this morning. What does God think of you? What does God think of you? Sometimes we might think that God thinks of us the way other people think of us, the way other people perceive us, the way other people, what other people say about us. I remember Rodney Dangerfield one time was talking, and he said that his psychiatrist said, "You know, you're crazy." And Rodney Dangerfield said, "Well, would you mind if I got a second opinion?" And the psychiatrist said, "Okay, you're ugly too." Well, sometimes we tend to think that whatever somebody else says about us is kind of the way we are, and that's probably how God sees us as well. So it's easy for us to be influenced in terms of what we think God is like by allowing other people to say things about us and view us in certain ways when God really doesn't see us that way at all. Many of us so believe the reports of others about ourselves that we begin to think that that must be what God thinks about us. Sometimes we tell ourselves that if we just did a little better, then God would feel better about us. Subconsciously, perhaps we even begin to try to bribe God a little bit by trying to act better or try to work harder or try to do more good works or good things for God, thinking that somehow by doing that, He'll think of us in a better way. The story is told of a man on trial for murder who bribed a member of the jury to hold out for the lesser verdict of manslaughter. After debating for several hours, the jury finally brought in the verdict. "We find the defendant guilty of manslaughter." The murderer sought out a juror who he had bribed and thanked him and asked him if he found it difficult to influence the other jurors. "Yes," he replied, "I had the most difficult time. All the rest of them wanted to vote not guilty." We spend so much time trying to perhaps bribe God into loving us or thinking better of us that we never really realize how God sees us in the first place. So how can we know what God thinks about us? Well, obviously, if we try to figure out what God thinks about us based upon our feelings, we can often find ourselves wallowing and languishing in despair more often than not. Our feelings often cause our minds to think in irrational ways. For example, if a person feels jealous, then their mind may cause them to feel like getting rid of that jealousy can only happen through violence. Or sometimes our minds tell us to solve the problem of loneliness we have by getting involved in bad relationships. Sometimes we feel rejected by others, so our minds tell us to get over that rejection by overeating or overdrinking. Our minds can be manipulated by our feelings, and so it's very easy for our feelings to tell our minds that God doesn't love us or think very highly of us. So how can we know what God thinks of us? We try to figure out what God thinks of us by our circumstances, then we certainly might think that He doesn't think very highly of us. Sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations. Sometimes we find ourselves going through trials. Sometimes we find ourselves being challenged in many ways. Sometimes we find ourselves facing health issues. And so we think to ourselves, well, maybe God doesn't really care about me. God doesn't think very highly of me. And as a result, we begin to view ourselves in that same way. Many of the ancients, however, believed that God's love was seen or shown to them by how prosperous they were, or how successful they were, or how good life was going for them. And so they thought if things were good, that must mean God is pleased with them and thinks well of them. Unfortunately, many people feel that same way today. They seem to base their view of how God sees them upon how well their life is going. If things are going well, then that must mean that God is pleased with me. And if they're not going well, then He must be angry or displeased with me. There's a woman who came to see me one time in a story that I had not heard before, and She recounted how her husband and one of her children had died tragically, how she had was very low on resources and faced the possibility of having to go live with a friend. She also had an automobile accident and was facing many medical problems. She felt like God was mad at her and that God didn't care for her. And all of us probably have come across people that seem to just have one bad thing happen after another. They just can't seem to break that cycle of one falling into one pattern of bad thing after bad thing. And so it's easy for a person like that to think that somehow God must not care about me, or he must not like me. Obviously, sometimes we have a part to play in some of the bad things that happen to us, and it's easy to blame God for those sorts of things. But there are times where things happen and we just have no control over them. And so it's easy for us to think maybe God doesn't really care at all, or maybe God is angry in some way at us or something like that. So how does God see us? Well, in order for us to really have a correct understanding of how God sees us, we need to understand how God has revealed himself to us, and that, of course, is in the pages of Scripture. In the beginning, God created man and woman. They lived in paradise, but they decided to rebel against the holy God. Thus, that sin entered into the world, and from that moment on, although God loved his creation, he was forced to relate to them, to men and women, differently. In order to keep his holiness uncompromised by sin, people were to live according to his law and have faith in him. Because they continued to choose to break his law, he was forced to punish them for their disobedience. When it became apparent that human beings were never going to be able to keep his holy law completely, God chose another means to reach out to his rebellious human beings. It was a means by which, based not on the goodness of men and women, but upon his great love for all people. Scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture also says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, how does God view us? Well, he loves us, and he showed his love for us by becoming one of us in his Son. He showed us his love even further by having his Son die for us on the cross, so that you and I, in spite of what we have done, can receive his grace. He died for us if we'd lived a good life, and he died for us if we'd lived a bad life. Scripture says, has proclaimed, there is no one righteous, not even one, in the sight of God. All are sinners. But did God reject us because of that? Not at all. In fact, he went even further when he promised that all one had to do to receive his love was to receive the giver of that love, and that is Jesus Christ himself. The wedding in our gospel lesson today is a fitting image of what God thinks of you and me. Scripture says that marriage of man and woman is a kind of a symbol of God's relationship with us. That, in a sense, you and I are to be spiritually married to God through Jesus Christ. And as we're married to God, we have a relationship with God that is different. When two people are engaged to be married, they're drawn to one another because they develop a love for each other. And they look at each other in a different way than they would otherwise. And so when that love is finally consummated in a marriage, then that relationship is cemented because of that commitment that they have to one another. And so in a sense, the marriage that Jesus attended on that first miracle that he did was an indication that he was showing the type of relationship that we are to have with him. And that is a relationship of closeness, that is a relationship of commitment, and a relationship of love. And so as Christ came to that wedding, they found that the wine had run out, and so Jesus asked the servants to fill up large pots of water, and then he turned the water into wine. Now, the servants knew what had happened, but the man at the head of the wedding didn't realize where it had come from, and realized that he was really serving Chateau Lafite 45 rather than just regular, ordinary Jewish wine. And so as he as he turned this water into wine, Jesus also did so as an indication of what would happen to us when we come to believe in him, when we come to join our lives with him, just as two people would join their lives with one another. As we join our lives with Christ, he fills us with the new wine of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and that new wine is the best that he can give to us. That new wine of the Holy Spirit is that which not only transforms our human spirits, but also makes us acceptable to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly seeking to be refreshed within us. That new wine is continually rejuvenated within us as we turn our lives over to Christ, as we seek to follow him. The lesson from our words from Isaiah today really speaks to this marriage relationship. It says this: "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of God. No longer will they call you deserted, or your name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." So when you come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God views you as someone to rejoice in, someone to delight in. Our God delights in us. He loves us and cares deeply for us. God views us not the way that we see ourselves, but he sees us through the lens of Jesus Christ. He sees us as if we are perfect, even though we are not perfect. He sees us the way that we will be, not the way that we are. God loves us with an everlasting love, and nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So the question today is, will you allow God to love you? Will you allow God to, will you see yourself as God sees you? As someone to delight in, as someone he loves, as someone who he cares about, as someone who he was willing to die for in order to redeem. God loves us so much that we are indeed his special creation. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you see us in a much different way than we see ourselves. You see us as loved. You see us as forgiven. You see us as someone who has a future, someone who for whom you have prepared a way to heaven. Lord, there are so many things that you see in us that we don't see in ourselves. Lord, we always see the negative things, the bad things. But Lord, you see past those things, and you see all the potential that we have in the future, all the things that we will be. And ultimately, Lord, you look at us because you love us, not because you see all the bad things and you want to judge us. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared for us a place in glory. We look forward to that one day. But until that time, Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we might constantly have that new wine bubbling up within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.